The message that I want to preach today is simply entitled, God Meets Moses in Anger. It's perhaps not a familiar passage of Scripture. It would have been so easy to pass it over, but we're not going to do that. It's important that in the life of Moses that we consider this incident in his life. Let's read the verses again. Exodus chapter 4, verse 24. And it came to pass, by the way, in the inn, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So we let him go. Then she said, A bloody husband art thou, because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. Let's have a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to deal with this passage of Scripture this afternoon. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word that we have read today. And we just pray now as we turn to the sacred page that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. And from this passage of Scripture that you would teach us and instruct us. We know, Lord, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we know that this passage of Scripture is profitable to our souls. And we pray, Lord, as we would look at it and consider it, that our hearts might be opened to receive the precious Word of God. We thank Thee, Lord, and we praise Thee for Thy precious truth. And we pray today, Lord, that You would speak to all of our hearts, both saint and sinner alike. We pray now that You would fill us with Your gracious Holy Spirit, how we need the help of God as we would come to preach Thy truth. And we pray, Lord, that we might be filled with the Holy Ghost. We thank Thee that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask. O God, in childlike faith, I ask now, fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, that everything that I would say would uplift and glorify the man Christ Jesus. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. After the Lord had instructed Moses at the burning bush to return to Egypt and deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, Moses began his journey back to Egypt. However, as Moses started his journey, the Bible tells us that the Lord met him by the way and sought to kill him. Look again with me at verse 24 of Exodus chapter 4. And it came to pass, by the way in the inn, that the Lord met Moses and sought to kill him. This, for many, is a puzzling passage of Scripture. Why, after God called Moses and sent Moses and instructed Moses to go back to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage, is he now seeking to kill Moses? Surely this does not make sense. There must be a contradiction here. Well, first of all, let me say that there's certainly no contradiction. But men and women, whatever else we may learn from this passage of Scripture today, we need to learn this, that God was angry with Moses. There was something in the life of Moses that was displeasing to the Lord. Therefore, it is vital that we study this incident in the life of Moses to see and understand why God was angry with Moses and what God is seeking to teach us. Because there's no doubt that there are valuable lessons for you and me to learn from these verses that we have before us today. If we believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for our souls, then we must of necessity believe that there are truths and lessons that will profit our souls from a study of this incident in the life of Moses. Very simply, as we come to look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice a number of things. And I do pray that the Lord will take His word and write them upon our hearts and upon our souls. First of all, I want you to notice here, and I hope that you have your Bible open before you, I want you to notice here the sin of Moses. The sin of Moses, the failure of Moses, the neglect of Moses, can be seen very clearly from this passage of God's Word. Look with me there at verse 25 of Exodus chapter 4. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, "Surely a bloody husband art thou to me." That text of Scripture indicates to us very clearly the sin of Moses. You see, the sin of Moses was that he neglected to circumcise his son. Circumcision was a command of God to the children of Israel. It was a sign of a covenant between God and his people. Keep your hand in Exodus chapter 4 and turn back to Genesis chapter 17. And you will see there the importance of circumcision in the life of the children of Israel as far as God was concerned. In verse 10 of Genesis 17, we read these words, "This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of their foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or brought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant." Therefore, for Moses to neglect circumcising his son was a very serious matter. So serious that Moses could not serve God until this matter had been dealt with. Indeed, so serious that if Moses failed to circumcise his son, God would remove Moses from this scene of time. So you can see the seriousness of the matter here. Now, why Moses failed to circumcise his son is uncertain. Some commentators believe that the reason why Moses neglected in his duty to circumcise his son was because his wife did not agree with the practice of circumcision, being a Midianite. And Moses, because of his love for her, did not want to go against his wife. Certainly, when you study this passage of Scripture, Zipporah, Moses' wife, was not happy with her son having to be circumcised. And although she ended up having to circumcise the child herself, she was not pleased. And we have that recorded in verse 25 and 26. Look at Zipporah's attitude after she circumcised her son. "Surely a bloody husband art thou to me." So we let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband art thou, because of the circumcision. Now, whatever the reason for Moses neglecting in his duty and carrying out this command, his sin is clear in the eyes of God. This was a great failure in the life of Moses. And I believe we can see that very clearly from the passage of Scripture before us. Now, what do we learn here? Well, we learn, first of all, that we cannot serve God with sin in our lives. God had called Moses to serve him. He had instructed Moses to go back to Egypt and to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. But Moses could not do that effectively with sin in his life. We cannot go on with God and grow spiritually if we are living in disobedience to the Lord. If we want the blessing of God in our lives, if we want the blessing of God in our service, then we need to be obedient to His precious word, no matter who we are. And of course, Moses was a great man of God. We have already found that out, and we know, because we know the end of the story, that the Lord is going to use Moses in a mighty way. But before, and I believe that this is the truth that is taught here, before Moses could be used of God, he had to deal with sin in his life. Moses could not go forward in the work of God, and God could not use him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt until this matter of the neglect of his son being circumcised was dealt with. Moses could not go on in disobedience and be expected to be used of the Lord. And you know, child of God, surely there is a lesson there for you and I who seek to serve the Lord. If we expect the blessing of God in our lives, if we expect God to use us, then we need to confess the sins in our lives that are hindering us and turn away from the sins in our lives that are holding back the blessing of God. Also, we should never allow our families to hinder us from doing what is right. Moses was putting his son before God. Moses was listening to his wife instead of God. It is said of Eli, and I'm sure that you're familiar with Eli in the Bible, in 1 Samuel 2 verse 29, it is said of Eli that he honored his sons more than he honored God. And of course you know what happened to Eli and his sons. God removed them and raised up Samuel to take their place. And if you take the time to read the life story of Eli and Samuel, you will know that to be the case. Child of God, the work of God cannot be done any old way. And I believe that truth is brought out here in Exodus chapter 4 very, very clearly. So, we have the sin of Moses. He neglected, for whatever reason, he neglected to circumcise his son. Now, we must, as we look and study this passage of Scripture, we must secondly consider and notice the displeasure of God. There's no doubt that when you read this portion of Scripture, that God was angry with Moses. To say that God was displeased with Moses for not circumcising his son, it would be an understatement. Look at the passage again and you'll see that God was so displeased and angry with Moses that he was going to remove Moses from this earth and shorten his life. Look at verse 24. And it says, and it came to pass, by the way, in the inn, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. I want you to underline that word, kill. The word kill in verse 24, it means to put him to death. You know, there have been times throughout the history of the church where God has shortened the lives of his saints and brought them home to heaven early because they have disobeyed him, because they have willfully lived in disobedience to him. Now, keep your hand in Exodus chapter 4 and turn over to the New Testament to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians, you will know that when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the Christians at Corinth were living in disobedience to the Lord. They were a carnal bunch. Now, of course, when you read 2 Corinthians, you find that the saints had repented and the church was on fire for God. Such was the turnaround after Paul's first epistle to them. But when Paul wrote his first epistle, they certainly were not glorifying the Lord in their lives and in their testimonies. And because of this, God had removed some of them from this earth. He had brought them home to heaven early. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 11. And look with me there at verse 29. This, of course, has to do with the Lord's table. But look what it says. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation. Now that word damnation, it just simply means judgment. To himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, now underline these words. Here's Paul speaking about the saints of God in the church at Corinth. And he says this. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now underline that last little phrase. For this cause, because they were carnal, and because they were living in disobedience to the Lord, and because they were misusing the Lord's table, it says here that many of them slept. In other words, the Lord had removed them from the church. You see, the truth is, child of God, that God will not overlook sin in our lives. He will not overlook sin in the lives of his people, even the sins of omission. The sin that Moses committed, the sin of failing to circumcise his son, undervalued the promises of the covenant. And God was angry with Moses because of this. And it's important that you see here the displeasure of God towards Moses at this time. Surely this point underlines to us the importance of walking with God in holiness day by day. The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." It emphasizes to us the importance of obeying God's word in every matter in our lives. God requires of us obedience. Obedience to his word, obedience to his commandments, obedience to his will, obedience to his law. Now, we're not going to be sinlessly perfect upon this earth, and we all know that. But I believe that when we read the word of God, we read clearly that the Lord expects you and I to live as holy as it is possible for saved sinners to live. And if there's a day and age, child of God, when you and I need to live for Christ and to shine out in our testimonies, then it is this day and age in which we are living. The saints at Thessalonica had a wonderful testimony. When they were first converted, there's no doubt that they shone out for Christ. Just turn over for a moment to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and here we have Paul, and he's writing to the saints of Thessalonica, and this is what he says about the saints in Thessalonica. Verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians 1, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power," look at verse 5, "and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples, or examples, look at that verse 7, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. My, what a contrast we have there when you compare the saints of Thessalonica with the saints in Corinth in Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. My friend, if you want to follow the example of godly saints, then follow the example of the saints in Thessalonica. They were pleasing to the Lord. They were honoring the Lord in all that they did. They shone out in their testimony. They turned away from sin. They walked in the paths of the Lord and in the ways of the Lord. And in so doing, they glorified Christ in their testimony. And that's how you and I ought to shine forth in this day in which we live. In 1 Samuel 15 verse 22, we read about the disobedience of Saul. And of course, you know that because of Saul's disobedience that God removed him and God raised up David to be king in his stead. You see, obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And here we have Moses. And as Moses goes to carry out the command of God, he has the call of God. He has the instruction of God. God has sent them back to Egypt all of a sudden. Before he gets there, by the way, the Lord meets with them and is angry with them, and is going to remove him from this scene of time because of his neglect. Because of his neglect. Child of God, are there things that we are neglecting today? In our Christian lives, are there things that we're neglecting? Are there things that we're overlooking? Are there things that we're pushing to the side? Maybe we think they're not that important, but they're important to God. We'll turn back to Exodus chapter 4 again, and look with me thirdly at the action of Zipporah. Let's read again verse 25. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet. Look at verse 26. So he let him go. The Lord let Moses go. Although it would seem that Zipporah was not altogether happy with circumcising her son, she knew it had to be done. Not only because it was the right thing to do, but also she knew that if it was not carried out, then her husband would die. Therefore, in order to save her husband, she obeyed the command of God. And the result was that God spared the life of Moses. And the Lord blessed Moses. Again, child of God, the lesson here surely is very, very simple. When God reveals to us the things in our lives that are amiss, and we do all in our power to make them right, not only will he forgive us, but he will use us again in his service. The very next verse in this portion of scripture after Moses' sin is dealt with reveals unto us not only that God had forgiven Moses, but that God was going to use Moses again. Because if you take a look at verse 27, immediately after Zipporah circumcises her son, look what happens in verse 27. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. You see, before Moses left the burning bush, and you'll be familiar with this, the Lord told Moses that Aaron was coming to meet him, and that Aaron would speak for Moses before Pharaoh. And now after this incident, immediately the Lord speaks to Aaron and directs Aaron to go and meet Moses. And of course we know the rest of the story, and we're going to see how the rest of the story unfolded as we continue to study this passage of Scripture. Moses and Aaron went in before Pharaoh and delivered the message that God had for him. But the truth is simple. The lesson is simple. When we deal with sin in our lives, God blesses us. That's the truth here, I believe, that the Lord would want to draw our attention to your attention and my attention. You know, this truth can be seen throughout the Word of God in the lives of God's saints. I think of the life of Peter. You remember how Peter denied the Lord with oaths and curses. You know, some people think that that wasn't a great sin at all that Peter committed, but it was. Because it literally means that Peter swore in the name of God that he did not know Jesus Christ. He cursed and he swore in the name of Jehovah that he did not know the Lord Jesus. It was a great sin. Peter, of course, as you read on in his life, a few days later, a few hours later, he repented. And in John 21, Christ puts Peter's repentance to the test by asking Peter three times, did he love him? Just turn over for a moment to John chapter 21. It's important that you see this for yourself. It is a familiar passage of Scripture, I'm sure, to most of us. But this is after the resurrection, of course. And the Lord Jesus is with his disciples. And look with me there at verse 15 of John chapter 21. So when they had dined, that was the Lord Jesus and the disciples, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, now this was after the denial, remember. This was after when Peter went out and wept bitterly. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time. Why should he be grieved? Did he not deny the Lord three times? So why should he be grieved if the Lord is asking him three times, lovest thou me more than these? As Christ pointed to the fish. Lovest thou me more than these? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. You'll notice here, and this is the point that I want you to see, that although Peter had denied the Lord with oaths and curses, after he repented, the Lord not only forgave him, but the Lord was going to use him again. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, three times over here. The Lord Jesus emphasizes to Peter that he's going to be used in the days that lie ahead. And of course he was used in a very, very mighty way, because on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached and 3,000 souls were saved. And of course, the Lord also used Peter in the establishment of the New Testament church. And he also used Peter in the writing of 2 epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter. Peter was inspired of God to write those epistles. And although Moses here in Exodus 4 has neglected his duty, God's angry with him. God's going to remove him if he doesn't get this problem sorted out. Moses repents, and the Lord takes him up and uses him again in his service. Oh, let me at the close of the meeting today, child of God, pose this question. In one of the hymns in our hymn book, is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Saviour? Are you ready his service to do? We cannot be channels of blessing. If we consciously trifle with sin, we will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. It's so important that you and I recognize that if we're going to be blessed of God and used of God in our Christian lives or in our service for the Lord, that we need to turn away from sin in our lives. Known sin in our lives. And here we have an example of this in the Bible from this passage of Scripture. Maybe you're in the meeting today, however, and you're not saved. The message on the whole has been to God's people. But maybe you're not saved. My friend, if God will be angry with his saints and take them home to heaven early because of their disobedience, what will he do with your soul if you meet him in judgment? Do you ever think of that? God was to mark iniquity, not one of us would stand. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. A fearful thing. And the truth is this, that if you die in your sin, that God will cast you out of his sight for all eternity, into hell itself. Because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But thank God, the wonderful message of the gospel is this. And you know it so well, but let it ring in your ears this Sabbath day again. That the Lord Jesus Christ came and he died upon the cross. And there upon that middle tree, he shed his precious blood for your sins and for my sins. That's why we can find forgiveness. That's why we can receive mercy. The mercy of God. Thank God today that there's no reason for anyone to die and go out into a lost eternity. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has shed his precious blood, and today he is willing and able to save you if you come in true repentance and faith to him. Just as God showed mercy to Moses, God will show mercy to you. And he will show mercy to you this very moment. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that a wonderful message? And that's the message of the gospel. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God today. Thank God there is forgiveness at the cross. There's mercy at the foot of Golgotha's tree. There's forgiveness and redemption found in Calvary. Oh, would you not come by faith and trust Christ as your Savior this day? And then your sins will be forgiven. And you can leave God's house knowing that you're on your way to heaven and on your way home. May God bless his word and bless his truth to our hearts today. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank you.